Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. Okay, I need more enthusiasm since there are so few of us in the room with all the snow. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thanks, Diane. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using for a long, long time. The Lord be with you. Thank you. And thanks to you who are joining us online. I've gotten texts from several folks saying that they're not able to be present with us in the room due to weather and related issues. And so we're glad that you're joining us online. We're glad that we still have the cameras on the back there and that they're working. So we like to, before we jump up and sing, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for getting us here safely, those of us who are able to, and thank you for wisdom that you gave to those who didn't try to make the drive. We thank you for those who are out there plowing roads and clearing out driveways and all of that. God, we pray you continue to protect them and protect all who are trying to get around in the snow today. And we thank you that whatever's going on with the weather changes all the time, but God, you are faithful. You are consistent in your love for us, in the grace that you show us. We thank you that you are not fickle like the weather can be. So thank you that today you have invited us to join with you, to meet with you, to gather together to sing to you and pray to you and listen for your Spirit speaking through the Scriptures, to gather around the table of our Lord Jesus. As we begin this Advent season, we are so grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who showed us your love in unmistakable ways. It's in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing as we begin.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations vine, one people in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease, and fill the world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel, shall come to thee, O Israel, shall come to thee, O Israel.
That is actually my favorite Christmas Advent song, so I like that it is usually one of the first ones that comes out too.
Oh,
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every 'cause I know there is peace within his presence. I speak Jesus. We're gonna do that other verse too. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus over, I'm sorry, over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus.
This can be a hard season for a lot of people, myself included, missing people that we love. So check on your neighbors too.
Great. Oh, wrong song.
So I hope everybody's doing well. I'm a little bit of a mess today, but that's okay. We can be a mess and still worship.
Bow your heads with me. Let's continue that prayer. God, we are so grateful to you that you do make a way, that when we when things are looking dark, when things are looking difficult or impossible, insurmountable, Even when we don't see it, God, you are working, and we thank you for it. God, would you help us today? Would you encourage us today by pointing out to us some of those ways that you're working, by letting us see your hand at work in our lives and in those impossible-seeming situations? God, you know that some of us in this room, some of us watching online, we are facing some huge issues in our lives. We're doing all that we can, and it doesn't seem like enough. And we're crying out to you, God, because we need you to step in and to do what we can't do. We need you to make that way for us, to work that miracle for us. We need you to come, Emmanuel, and let us know that God is with us. Thank you, God, for the many different ways that you answer that prayer, the many different ways that you help us to know your presence with us in the midst of trial, to know that you are with us in the darkness. God, this time of year, I'm so grateful that somebody thought it was a good idea to put lights up on everything. Because God, as the days get shorter and the nights get longer, those lights remind me, anyway, of your light shining in our darkness, of your presence with us in the hard times. Thank you, God. Thank you for this Advent season, this Christmas season that reminds us that you come to us. You enter into our darkness, our brokenness, our hurt, our anxiety, our fear. You step right in to the middle of all of the mess that we find ourselves living in. You meet us here, and you shine your light into our darkness. I don't know what you're going to do for each of us, God. I don't know. I only know some of the stories, some of the miracles that we're crying out to you for. But we are excited to see your hand at work. We're excited to see the ways that you come through, the ways that you show up, the ways that your love and your grace are demonstrated in our lives. Thank you, God, that in this world, you are at work. Thank you that sometimes we get to be a part of that. Help us to keep our eyes open, to keep our hearts open to you, so that as you nudge us, as you point out opportunities for your light to shine through us, God, we are ready to say yes to you. Thank you that right now, around the world, God, there are sons and daughters of yours letting your light shine through them. We're grateful for the ones that shine into our lives, God, and we're grateful for those times that we get to be those lights. Again, God, today we pray that you'd help us to be open to meeting with you, to hearing what it is you want to say to us, the encouragement you want to give, the help you want to provide. Help us, God, to be ready to say yes, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you. Let's take a couple minutes to extend that peace to each other. Shake someone's hand. Wish them a happy Sunday. All right. Just a couple quick announcements before we get into this morning's message and the lighting of the Advent candle and all of that good stuff. But first, I did want to say, especially to those of you joining us online, thank you for still keeping up with us. Those of you who couldn't make it here, those of you maybe just checking us out and wondering, what's this church doing? We're glad that you're here. If you'd like to communicate something to us, besides dropping us a comment on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, you could go to livinghope.info/connect, and you could fill out the little online connect card. Let us know how we can pray for you, thank God with you, answer a question for you. And all of us can do that. Some of you guys take advantage of that. And some of you just grab the little green cards back there, and you jot your note on there and drop it in the offering box. So thank you for the chance to pray with you for the things that concern you. We appreciate being able to do that and to answer your questions. And if you're giving today, of course, you can drop that in the box or you can give online. We depend on that, obviously. And so thank you to all of you who give faithfully. Some of you, when you heard that the church was struggling to make our ends all meet as we're approaching the end of the year, some of you have already responded. Some of you are still praying, asking God, just like we encourage you to. You give what you've decided in your heart to give. That's what the Bible says. So you talk to God and you say, okay, God, church needs a little extra help. What would you have me give? And then you give that. And we're thankful for it. So thank you to all of you who are praying and giving and making sure that this church can keep the lights on and the doors open for all the fun stuff that happens. And some of that stuff is mentioned on the front. Some of it's on the back of these little handouts. Hope you got one. On the back there, it mentions that you can still give to the Habitat House that's being built in Portage. And you can go to their website for a link to if you want to volunteer or if you want to give. Or you can give to the Habitat Fund through us. And they did reach out to me this last week saying, hey, we could do a build day in January for you guys if you want to. If there's a Saturday, they were saying, hey, I can't remember which Saturday now. If you're interested in going up there and building, let me know, and I can let them know, yeah, we've got a little group of people that would like to help build the house. And I think they're starting to do drywall and stuff. I mean, they're getting there. So if you'd like to be a part of it, let us know. Hopefully you grabbed your little Advent book. If you haven't already, these devotional books are free to you. So we want to make sure that you can follow along. I've already been enjoying it. It's a pastor out of the UK that writes this one this year. And I got to hear him interviewed on a podcast. And so I get to hear it in his voice, which is always kind of fun. But yeah, we hope that you'll grab that because it connects with the Sunday messages, and each day has got some different scripture and some thoughts for reflection and some questions for reflection. That's good. And one thing I forgot to put on the back there was the tree that you walked past as you came in, the Warm a Home tree, through our partnership with First Contact here in town. If you wanted to give, you can grab an ornament if you'd like, and all that's on there is just a reminder that, hey, there's someone out there who needs to keep their house warm or their apartment warm. All winter long, they help people with utilities and with rent, making sure that people can stay housed and stay warm. And so if you would like to give to First Contact, there's an envelope there. You can drop a check in and mail it. Or you can, if you're giving online here, I think it's called the Good Neighbor Fund. If you're looking at the little drop down of the different funds you can give to, and you can give, and we just pass all that along to First Contact to help neighbors in our community who need that help. Speaking of fun stuff going on around here, this Saturday, we get to host, you know how James Tudor likes to do the Tudor Taco Tuesday fundraisers for different nonprofits, and we host them here usually about once a month. In December, it's a Saturday. It's this coming Saturday, and it's for Giant Paw Prints Rescue. It's a place that helps big dogs to be rescued, and they're going to have pictures with Santa for the dogs and all that fun stuff. If you have a dog you want to bring, feel free. It starts at 10. I think tacos are being served 11 to 1. They always ask for a donation of like 10 bucks or something like that for the plate of tacos. So if you want to join us, that's this Saturday. And and then there's other fun things happening that you can read about in there and be a part of if you'd like. So yeah, Courtney. What's that? Can cats come too? I have no idea. That might not be the best idea if there's a bunch of dogs here to bring a cat. So I can ask, but it is a dog rescue, so I don't know. I haven't had cats and dogs. Wouldn't advise it, yeah. That might not be the best idea, yeah. If you want to keep the cat alive, you might not want to bring it here on Saturday. Before we have the Shibles come up and light the Advent candles, I would love it if we could just bow our heads and pray for a moment. Well, thank you again, God, for the ways that you are at work in our lives and in our world and the ways that we get to be a part of it. As we look to your word, as we join together with Christians around the world in celebrating this season of Advent, this season of anticipation, God, would you build that anticipation in us? Would you help us to make room in our hearts for Christ to be King? And would you help us today to listen for your Spirit's voice? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, come on up, guys. John and Tammy are going to, they've got a little reading, and they're going to light our first Advent candle, and I don't want to say any more about that. I don't want to steal their thunder, but I do want to say, if you'd like to light one of the candles in these coming weeks, let me know, and once you see what they do, you decide for yourself if you want to get up and read in public. You can set the bar high. Okay. I don't know who wants that.
Many of us rush from Thanksgiving to Christmas, trying to get everything done. But Advent invites us to pause and to wait. During this time, we look to the past as we remember the people of Israel who longed for God's deliverance, and to the future as we eagerly anticipate the arrival of the kingdom of God in all its fullness. Every year during this time of waiting, we reflect on four themes: hope, peace, joy, and love.
Today we remember that we are people of hope, and that hope is not dependent on our circumstances, but on the God of whom Isaiah 25:6-9 says, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the covering that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his peoples, of the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'See, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.'"
We light the candle of hope today as a reminder that even in the darkness, God is at work, and one day the darkness will be no more.
Thanks, guys. You read well. You lit the candle well. Good job. Yeah. Yeah, this is this season when hope is the one of the themes this Advent season, and hope is something that we that we need when we're when everything's not great, right? Hope is the kind of thing you don't need hope when everything's like, hey, everything's wonderful. You know, when you're on vacation, when you're sitting on a beach or, you know, something like that, and it's warm and the waves are lapping at your toes and, you know, someone's bringing you a fruity drink or something. I don't know. Whatever your idea of relaxation and bliss is, when you're in the midst of that, you're not like thinking like, oh, man, I sure hope things work out. You know, I hope things get better. You know, no, because everything's great. We need hope when things look dark, when things look bleak, when things are hard. I don't know if you were listening or heard it. We put the scripture in your handout that they just read from Isaiah. But he's looking forward. The prophet's looking forward to this time when all things are made right, when all peoples get to enjoy this bountiful feast, and when he destroys this. He calls it a shroud, a covering that's spread over all nations. And then he says what it is. He says he will swallow up death forever. He says, like everyone's under this dark cloud, that knowing that like death is coming for us all, and God's going to destroy that. He's going to destroy death, going to destroy the fear of death, going to make it so that we can have hope, so that we don't have to live with a sense of despair. That's why it says the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces and remove the disgrace of his people. And then it will be said on that day when God comes through, "See, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we've waited. Let's be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Now that phrase waited, that they'd say it a couple times, that word for waited, is also in some other translations is, "This is the Lord, we trusted in him." Others say we hoped in him. We put our hope in him. That's the same Hebrew word underneath these different English translations. And I wanted to share that because it kind of gets at this idea. It's not just saying like, oh, we just kind of waited around and then God did something. It's like, no, we were like anticipating that God was going to come through. We put our hope in him. We trusted in him that God is going to do what he's promised he would do. And God is faithful. That's why we can be a people of hope. He's made promises and he's making good on those promises. The scripture that we're going to read today, if you follow along, and maybe you read it this morning, if you already had the little Advent book, is this next one from Luke chapter 2. It begins that famous story where there's the angels and the shepherds and all of that, and they come and see the Christ child there born in the manger. But that story starts, Luke chapter 2 does, with these words: "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register." And as you keep reading the story, you find out that Mary, who's very pregnant at this time, she's having to travel along with Joseph to Bethlehem. And that's where Jesus ends up being born. I've never been very pregnant. And so I don't know what traveling is like, but I hear it's not pleasant. And that's for people who are able to, like, sit in a car, you know, a cushioned, temperature-controlled, you know, chariot that takes us comfortably from one place to the next. They were having to walk. They were having to travel, all because the big, powerful people said they had to. These were not fun times for the people of Israel, right? They had been subjugated and controlled by others for hundreds of years. So for generations, all they had known was stories of a time when they were their own people, stories of a time when they had their own kings, their own rulers. But all they had known and experienced all the way back to grandparents and beyond was other world powers pushing them around, telling them where to go so they can be more efficiently taxed. That's probably what the census was for, was to find out how many people live in this little corner of our empire anyway. We gotta figure out how much money we can wring out of them before they try to revolt. So let's find out exactly who we're working with here. The rich, the powerful, pushing around the people who have no prestige or status or wealth. We can't relate to that today, can we? No, that's not the experience that any of us in this room have. Being sarcastic for those who are missing it, okay? All right, just making sure. I'm pretty sure we're all on board, but every now and then there's somebody that, you know, only half hears something and thinks I'm saying something I wasn't trying to say. You know, in those days, when Caesar was in charge, when people were being pushed around, when things seemed like, I mean, it had been, I think, 400 years at this point since Israel had had, like, a recognized prophet where they said, wow, this is someone speaking for God. It'd been hundreds of years. They've been waiting. They've had these promises. I'm sure there are some folks among them who are saying, like, I don't think God's really doing anything anymore. He used to do stuff, but, I mean, all the way back to our grandparents' time, it doesn't seem like God's really doing much. But there were some who were still waiting, who were still trusting, still put their hope in God. That's Luke chapter 1, if you haven't read that in a while. All right, if you've just been starting in Luke chapter 2, where the story of Jesus' birth starts, go back and read chapter 1, where it talks about the angel coming to Mary, and she's one who is, like, trusting God and being faithful and accepting and being willing to let God do. And then you see her song, as she's talking about, wow, the ways that God is at work for the humble, for the meek. And you see Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mom and dad, and their miraculous pregnancy. I was going to say his miraculous birth, but it's, anyway, you know, having a baby in their old age. And you see Zechariah's song, also a song putting trust in God. These are people who were continuing, even in the midst of darkness, in a world that didn't seem like maybe God was paying attention, continuing to call out to God, continuing to trust in God, continuing to pray to God. And then God shows up. And you see people who are trusting him, and you see God at work. In those days, God was at work. When you read today, he's going to invite you to reflect on what those days might look like in your life. You know, those days when it seems like, well, God's not really showing up. Maybe it's, I don't know, for each of us, you know, it's going to be different, right? I mean, we all live in the same world, I think. Although it seems like sometimes we live in different realities. I'm just thinking about, you know, the difficult days we live in kind of politically, you know, where everyone's at each other's throats. And it seems like maybe you just went through this past weekend with Thanksgiving. Maybe you got together with a relative who's, like, opposite you politically, whichever side you happen to be on, there on the other side. And it seems like, man, are you living in the same world I'm living in? Are you, and the reality is we're not reading the same news. We're not reading things from the same perspective, so something happens, and, you know, both sides blame the other side, and we all pick our teams, and then we have trouble living together. In those days, maybe the darkness that's been coming for you lately has been related to loss of a loved one, and you just went through Thanksgiving without them. You're not looking forward to Christmas without them. Maybe it has something to do with your health. Maybe it has something to do with job or housing or all the different things that that hit us and weigh us down. In those days, I wonder, a few years from now, kind of imagining, are we going to look back and say, as we tell the story of God being at work in our lives, are we going to look back and say, you know, it was 2025. It was in those days when, you know, there was the longest government shutdown ever and neither side could come together. And it was in those days. Oh, that was the year that we lost this one. Oh, that was the year that I was going through that period that was so dark. In those days, God showed up. And a few years from now, you're able to look back and see, right? A few years from now, you're able to look back and say, oh, and that's when God came through. I didn't know it at the time, but he'd been working. He'd been lining things up so that I'd be ready and they'd be ready and circumstances would be right. And that's when I learned how to use how God could redeem the pain I'd experienced to help be a blessing to others in those days. I've been reading Romans chapter 8 lately. I put some of it there in your notes, where the Apostle Paul tells these Christians who are living in the seat of power, living in the town, in the city where Caesar lives, where Rome is at its peak. He says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. It's kind of like what Isaiah was talking about. He's looking forward to that day when death will be no more, when all that will be ended, when God will destroy that and remove that. He's saying this idea of looking at who God's children really are. When God created the world, he put people in charge, right? And we were supposed to have dominion over this planet. We were supposed to live here as his image bearers, kind of representing him to the rest of creation. And right away, we messed that up. Right away, we decided, no, God, we think we'll run the show the way we want to run the show. And everything went in the toilet, right? It just got bad. And that's what it means, like all of creation, against its will, was subjected to God's curse. God's curse was really just kind of laying out for us the consequences of trying to do life without God. It wasn't like God was angry and said, I'm going to show you. That's not what you read in Genesis. It's just, oh, when you quit looking to me for life, for guidance, for wisdom, for who you're supposed to be, for how you're supposed to live in this world I've given you, when you pull back from all that, oh, this is the ugliness that results. And he's saying all of creation has been impacted by that, but now all of creation is looking forward with eager hope to see who God's children really are, to see human beings live like human beings were created to live, to see us live into God's plan for us, God's dream for us, what he's redeemed us for, to live in this world as a people who love instead of hate, to live in this world as a people who show respect to people who don't respect us, to live in this world as a people who are peacemakers instead of pot stirrers. To live in this world as a people who reflect God's grace and truth that Jesus showed up full of when he came. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. He's saying that's what we do. We groan. I don't know if you've let yourself groan lately. I don't know if you've let yourself lament lately. If you've let yourself grieve, if you've let yourself feel like the not rightness of certain things. Sometimes, unfortunately, we can get this idea that if I'm following Jesus, I'm supposed to be happy all the time. I'm supposed to pretend like nothing bothers me. I'm supposed to just kind of, you know, well, God's good all the time. God is good, so I can't complain. I can't lament. I can't groan. He says, no, that's part of the human experience. We believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit in us as a foretaste for the future. We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us that can shovel snow for hours and not feel it. These new bodies. We were given this hope when we were saved. And when Jesus transformed our lives, when we put our trust in him and he forgave our sins, he gives us this new life, he gives us this hope that says one day God's going to make all things right, all things new, and that includes us. We have this hope. And then I like this little thing in parentheses that he adds. He says, if we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And that's how we hope. We wait patiently. Okay, God, it's in your time, not mine. I know you've said this is the direction you want me to go. I know you've kind of given me this picture of the future that you have for me. Fantastic. I'm walking in that direction. I'm ready when you are. And we wait patiently and confidently. Confident in God's goodness. Confident that God will, in fact, be faithful and good. I feel like I've been at lots of funerals lately. I was just asked to help. Every now and then, some of the funeral homes will call me and ask to help with one that doesn't have a church or a pastor, and I just had the opportunity to do that on Friday. And I enjoy helping families know that God is with them to comfort them in the midst of grief. And man, it's a whole lot easier when that person is a believer. And I'm able to say words like these that I put there in your notes. It's not scripture. It's from the burial rite of the Book of Common Prayer. It says, ensure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, we commend to Almighty God our brother or sister, whoever it is, you know, you name the person at that point. And we commit his body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The Lord bless him and keep him. The Lord make his face shine upon him, be gracious to him. The Lord turn his face toward him and give him peace. Amen. It's as hard as it is to grieve the loss of a loved one. We have this sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. We believers have the Holy Spirit living in us. Actually, that was just earlier in Romans chapter 8. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That doesn't mean we don't still groan. Doesn't mean it's not hard, but the Holy Spirit, when we groan, the Holy Spirit helps us. You read the rest of Romans chapter 8, it's in there. The Holy Spirit helps us when we don't know how to pray, when we're just groaning. The Spirit helps us to faithfully cry out to God for help. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and will continue to give us life, to renew us, to sustain us, to see us through, to help us to believe that this is true. What we sang about earlier, what Romans chapter 8 says in verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Even when we don't see it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. We sang it earlier. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. If you read the rest of Romans chapter 8, that purpose is to make us like Jesus. God is at work, and so we have hope, even in those days. Even in those days that seem so dark. Even in those days that seem so hard. That have us feeling like all we can do is groan. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. God continues to be at work. I hope that you are able, that I am able, that all of us are able to live with that hope, with that confidence in God, with that trust in God. It involves waiting patiently, waiting confidently, trusting that God will, in fact, make good. We're in this season of waiting. Jesus already came, right? He came a couple thousand years ago. So in the sense, we're like, yeah, we're just kind of waiting. You know, the people of Israel were waiting for him to come that first time. And now we continue to wait for Christ's return when he will make all things new, all things right. And until that day, he's given us the gift of his Holy Spirit alive in us, helping us to wait patiently, confidently. helping us to have hope. So I like this this blessing that the Apostle Paul uses from Romans chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want for us. All right, let me pray for us as we prepare our hearts for communion. Father, thank you. Thank you for showing up in those days when the rich and powerful had their way, when some got pushed around while others did the pushing. God, you know what those days are like for everyone gathered here and for those who are joining us online. God, you know what those days are like for us. You know that at times it can be hard for us to see you at work. Sometimes it's hard for us even to allow ourselves to groan. But if we're going to be honest, groaning's kind of all we've got. Thank you, God, that in the midst of the groaning, your Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, is alive in us, with us, sustaining us, encouraging us, guiding us, lifting our eyes toward you, reminding us that you entered into our darkness and your darkness could not overcome. The darkness could not overcome your light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We celebrate that together with Christians around the world in this sacrament of Holy Communion. We offer to you these gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, we remember, you gathered with your disciples, you took bread, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, "Drink this. This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so we do remember Jesus. Every Sunday, all Advent long, we remember that you were willing to come into our darkness, to walk alongside us, to take on our broken humanity so that you could heal it from the inside out, so that your light could shine in our darkness, so that through your death and your resurrection, you could break the power of death, the power of sin, the power of the devil. You could set us free. You could give us hope. You could make new life possible for us here and now and forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And thank you, God, that today we can come to you confidently to receive the mercy and grace that we need. I mean, as we thank you for this amazing love you've shown us in Jesus, as we lift our hearts to you, we become aware, we are reminded that these hearts have been stained by sin, that we've not always loved you with all that we are. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. We've not always waited patiently, confidently. And God, there might be other things in our lives that right now you're dealing with us about, things that we need to acknowledge as sin before you and repent of, turn away from, so that we can receive your forgiveness, so that you can guide us down a new and better path. It might be, God, that there's somebody with us right now who is doing this for the very first time. For the first time is hoping that maybe this is true. And is reaching out to you for that grace and forgiveness. Help all of us, God, including those who are doing this for the first time, those of us who are doing this for the millionth time. God, as we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You embrace us and adopt us as your sons and daughters. And you fill us with the Spirit of Christ, changing us from the inside out so that we can live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, as your sons and daughters. We are so grateful. Help us all to experience the fullness of that today. All the life, all the grace, all the hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Missy's going to come back up and lead us in a song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. As we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. It's open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus, all of us who are hungry for his grace and grateful for his love. So let's celebrate.
Without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt.
Thank you again, God, for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Again, I pray, fill us with the Spirit of Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. Be present to us. Change us from the inside out so that we might live in this world as your body, Lord Jesus, as your hands, as your feet, that we might be a people of hope who carry with us your light shining in the darkness. Thank you. Thank you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, I want to end with that blessing, but it's in here. Where is it? I got to read it. All right. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.